This is Call with Dad's podcast, where today's issues, concerns, and joys of being a dad are discussed, with your hosts E.A. Maynard and Mr. Pancake sharing their views, experiences, and all things they know. Join the journey with us. Welcome to Call with Dads, more than a podcast or a website, but your home for a community of dads who want to be better. Now let's get started.
Yeah, so just heard your interview today you did with, what was his name, Kevin from Balanced Dad.
The Balanced Dad.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation. So
you heard of their whole thing already?
Yeah, I listened to it, actually finished it up, and he just had an episode that came out as I was listening to yours, because I'm like, you know what, subscribe to it, let's see what it is. So I started listening to his as well, which is all about budgeting and things like that. So, yeah. But yeah, I think it was a good interview. So I don't think I would have done better or would have had a, I wouldn't have actually thought about asking a lot of the questions, especially like the maternity leave or paternity leave and the difference that as in America, we don't have it really. For guys, some states do allow it.
I was today years old when I learned that the U.S. doesn't have much of a maternity leave or anything like that.
It's company by company. I guess if you can think of it in the terms of the government is not the boss of the people or the companies or anything like that, in terms of, think of it like that. So as far as maternity leave, the government can't force a company to offer it to an employee. It is solely the decision of the employee to, when made an offer from a company, to read it over, ensure it is to their liking, and then accept.
If they don't, that's
your fault. You know, you chose.
You choose the benefit package.
Right. Yeah. So it's solely between the two. It's a deal made between two parties that's solely, I guess, without the government. It's not their problem. It's not their, you know, it's free market.
Yeah.
I guess that's the difference. I understand maternity leave. Absolutely. You know what I mean? But I also understand, you know, the other side. You know, I mean, who is it to say that, you know, the company is required to offer it. If they don't offer it, then they don't offer it. And it's, you know, if you as an employee decide to take it and you don't get it, sorry about your luck. I mean, go find another job that does offer it. You know, it's that simple.
Well,
so I understand both sides.
I will say there are states like, what was it? New Jersey, I think it is. There's a guy I work with who, as a resident of, if I'm getting the state wrong, I apologize, but I think it's New Jersey that this guy lives in, and they allow you to take 2 months unpaid without losing your job. So like when I first started, he was on paternity leave, and then he just went on paternity leave again for his second son. So he'll be off for, I think, 2 months because of that. And, you know, I can understand it for some jobs, but where I kind of get a little lost in it is just kind of, you know, like, for example, I work from home, he works from home, all these people work from home. And again, this is my opinion, because some guys are going to argue with me on the fact, and I'll play devil's advocate real quick on it, but, you know, for me, I can, like, when my wife had my son or my daughter, who's 2.5 now, right, or somewhere between 2.5 and 3, I don't know the months. I think I've said it before. I'm definitely not that kind of dad that goes, my kid is so many months old. I'm sitting there going, after a year, it's their year and a half, 2 year. It goes
the same.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the math. Just tell me how many years are old. I don't care how many months.
Yeah.
My kid is 79 months old.
I'm glad you know that.
I don't. What? I guessed. No. 5 years is 72. Well, you know, I think, right? 5 years is 72.
60.
12 times 5. 60. That's way off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then she's.
We're all really.
Then she would be. 68 months.
I'll tell you what, my math skills with 12s and 6s are just off the chart. I can sit there and ramble 12s and 6 multiples without a problem. But I've dealt with designing construction buildings for years. So here in the States, everything runs on either an inch, half inch, or you're doing 6 inches, 12 inches. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how my mind, and I kid you not, a lot of times I'll sit there and go, all right, so I need this much. So if I have 12 of them here, how many more do I need after so many 12s? And I mean, it's a weird way of thinking, but it's kind of what's happened. But
hey, Matt, whatever works for you.
Exactly. But kind of where getting back to what I was thinking is, you know, like when my daughter was born, I didn't take paternity leave because, one, it wasn't offered. But because I worked from home, as long as I wasn't in a meeting or didn't have to show online or something like that, I could run up, help my wife a little bit. And even if I needed to, like right now, my company I'm with now, I swear I could tell my boss, hey, I'm going to be working on and off. I'll be on late in the evenings, blah, blah, blah. But because I have that flexibility, I can get away with doing it. So I can help my wife without taking off that paternity leave. Now, if you're a coal miner, you're not going to sit there and go, well, I want to spend time with my kid.
Can I work from home?
Yeah. Can I work from home? Sure. Just dig at least 10 feet down in your basement.
Right.
So, yeah.
There are adequate situations in which, it's physically impossible to be able to do both at the same time. I mean, you know, I mean, there's certain companies and style jobs and career fields and so on and so forth where it's either paternity leave or not. You know, I mean, there is no decision on, or maternity leave or not. There is no decision on the matter. It's either you're off or you're not off, one of the two. You know, whereas mine and yours, we can take off kind of, you know, half and half or not at all, whatever, and keep working kind of mid. You know, but, I mean, I'm all about maternity leave and stuff, but I'm also all about, you know, you got to think of it in terms of selfishness, you know, because in a way it is somewhat of a selfish thing. So now all three of us here are essentially, for the lack of a better word, slowly but surely building our own business, right?
Right.
Now, what happens when you get an employee or two or six or 12? Now, are you going to be financially stable? What happens? So let's say you're at where you're at now, a small company. Maybe you intake about 100 or let's say $200,000 a year, right? You spend about 50K of that, you know, hiring an assistant or some sort of, you know, social media manager or assistant person, you know, a young kid, probably out of college, young lady, 22, out of college, trying to dip her feet in the social media management world, right?
Yeah.
She is married. Good for her. Wanting to have a kid. Good for her. Family's awesome. You know what I mean? She makes the decision, and her family make the decision to get pregnant and have a baby. Now, number one, was that decision yours as a business owner? No, it wasn't. You had nothing to do with it. That decision, you know, was way out of it. Not to mention, you didn't get the fun of making the baby, so it's way outside of your decision. You know what I mean? You didn't get any positive feedback or anything from it whatsoever, other than the fact that your employee is now pregnant. So that's one. The other thing is how you pay her, you know, say 50K a year, so it's about $1,000 a week, right? You give or take, you know. Are you capable of affording, as a small business, affording that $1,000 a week and having no return on it for minimum of 30 days? You know, well, and I mean, return, I mean, she isn't doing her social media management. You are now going to have to completely cover all of it for the next 30 days in addition to your job.
Unless you hire a temp.
Yeah, but let me...
Or hire a temp. Right. So now, if you do hire a temp, now not only are you paying your temp, but you're also still paying her for her maternity leave. So now you're double dipping.
Okay, not up here, though. Now, the way it works in Canada is that the government pays not the full salary, but I think it's something like 70 or 75%.
Okay.
So I'm off the hook for the duration of her maternity leave.
So that was my other thing. So now, and then I'm talking about in the U.S. So in the U.S., there is no governmental law. And if you know anything, I mean, I'm not saying you don't know anything, but if anybody knows anything about taxes, where do they come from? The government just doesn't go, more money. You know what I mean? It's not how it works. You know, me, you, and everybody listening, when we pay our taxes, that's where the government gets their money to fund these things. So now, as though you didn't directly pay for that, when next year comes around or the year prior, when everybody voted to raise the taxes a little bit, or everybody voted to, oh, yes, we should definitely do it. You know, oh, we should definitely have maternity leave, you know, minimum 60 days. And then the government goes up. Oh, now you get a 2% tax raise. So now everybody's, in addition to paying 2% more on their annual taxes. So you are paying for it. You are now paying, no matter what you do, in every single instance, are paying for someone else to F your employee and get them pregnant.
Hold on. Let me interrupt you real quick.
We're all paying taxes, and then we're the one funding everything. So, at the end of the day, it comes down to everybody has to pay for whatever you need in life.
Now, when it comes down to it, it's how willing are you to pay for somebody else's needs? Is their production during the time that they weren't pregnant and off worth it to give them that time off?
Now, let me ask this. Let me jump in real quick. Because we started off talking about paternity and not maternity. And as far as because we've had two kids myself, and my wife had to use her vacation and her long-term disability insurance, which is something that a lot of companies here offers, short-term, long-term disability. So she had to use those. We didn't get any government funding, or her company didn't pay her extra while she was off. She just went off without pay after her vacation time was gone, and after the benefits that we pay for through the company's benefit package and all this. Now, paternity leave, for the men going out, which I understand, like my company just offered 2 weeks paternity paid, where for the first 2 weeks you get paid, but that's all they offer, and they just added that. Now, I can understand the 2 weeks. You want to spend that time with the kid and all this.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a lot of people out there, and I can even understand a month or even 2 months of taking off to be with the kid. And especially for people that aren't there, like where I have the benefit of being at home and working, right?
Right.
But it's for dads, one is we're not known for being the take off and handle newborns. Now, mind you, I've changed so many poopy diapers, I couldn't even tell you how many in the world I've done. We're starting to work on potty training, which is a whole barrel of fun.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. And I'm basically as involved as I can. But like I said, with my job situation, I probably would never take off paternity leave just because, one, I wouldn't take that financial time off because we can use that money to build, to keep moving. And I do have the option to see my kid because, well, I'm here. Right. Now, that's why I said I can understand, like, somebody wants to take a month, you know? Women, I think, in fact, Ram, your episode that I was just saying that came out, the dad, Kevin, that was on there, he even mentioned that on Dads with Mics that he took paternity leave because he was working through the government. And for him, his wife had postpartum depression. He had a lot of things, but it also allowed him
to deal with.
But he also had that time to bond with his kid. And that, I'm sitting there going, because he didn't have a work at home job. He went off. He worked he was a flight.
He's an air traffic controller.
Yes. I couldn't think what they were called. Yeah. I wanted to call him a flight director, but he was an air traffic controller. So
yeah, that's not a, that's a yes. It's a yes or a no.
Yeah.
You're so, either there or you're not.
Right. Yeah. And that's the big thing is for dads, when you have a job like that, that's demanding, that's stressful. A lot of times when you come home, it's taking you a while to get all that stuff out of your head to be focused on your kids. And I mean, by any means, I don't have a stressful job, but even I'll sit there and think, you know, should I put that fryer on that end of the cook line or the other line of the cook line? Or is the chef going to be a jerk, or is this chef going to be fun to work with? You know what I mean? It's not stressful, but we still think about our work after our work. We just, it's nature. It's what it is. So, I mean, I think paternity leave is beneficial to a point, but I think a lot of it at a certain point starts becoming the guys are using it for time off to go play video games or do all this because
that's what they're doing.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's what all guys are doing. So don't, but I have a feeling that there's a good majority of them that are after a certain point, they're taking that time and going to play around, play golf, just go on hikes while the wife stays at home, whatever it is. Yeah. No, I'm just generalizing, but whatever it is. And again, I'm sure there's guys like, if I took paternity time, I can promise you my wife would have said, here's a kid, I'll be back in a couple hours, you know? And it is what
that's
it
the
is.
That's the point.
It is. But I can almost bet a lot of guys are sitting there going, well, take care of the kid. I have to go play Dungeons and Dragons with my buddies, or I have a dart championship I have to go play, you know? You see what I'm getting at? There's a feeling
those
that I have.
Those are boys that drank too much soy milk as a kid.
Right, but that's but what the, that is. The fact soy is boy. Is you have fathers that are going to be like, I almost have a feeling all three of us, if we took paternity leave, we'd be right there with our kids. We might not be the best at it all the time, and we might be turning around when the wife has the kid and say, why the F am I here? What the? Or whatever it might be, you know? But
here, play with this cell phone for a little while.
You know, I hate to say it. When I first became a dad, I honestly used the cell phone a lot with my son and didn't think anything of it. And a lot of dads don't. Now, I don't use it nearly as much. And my son, when he does have tablet time, is what we call it, he's looking at stuff. He's looking at, like, nature stuff. He's doing what we refer to as research time. But let's do this. First off, we've already started it well into that, and we haven't even introduced Jerem or let you talk about Dads with Mics. So how about since we're already about a half hour, to a half hour in this, people can learn about, I'm telling you, how about you let people know a little bit about yourself, why you do what you do and what you do, and then we'll just jump back into our random conversations.
Well, let me just start off by saying that was a fire start. We just go right into it.
Yeah,
no questions asked, no introductions. Let me tell you about maternity leave.
Yeah, sorry.
And, oh, dude, that's the best kind of conversation when it just starts off random like that, and we just go right into it.
If anybody follows me knows, I kind of uppity sometimes.
Sometimes.
No, you?
Such is life.
Yeah, so guys, I'm super excited to be on. I've been waiting for this for a while, and as I said offline, I'm a big fan of your podcast, so thank you so much for inviting me on your show today. My name's Rem. I'm a father. I'm 39 years old. I have two kids, a boy who's 6 and a daughter who's 4. And I work full-time working for the devil. And I started this podcast called Dads with Mics as an escape, kind of, because I hate my job. So that's one of the reasons why I started it. And another reason is, you know, I always felt like in real life when you have like a birthday party or a barbecue and you're, you know, amongst other dads, it's the conversations often revolve around complaining about your wife, complaining about your kids, how hard it is to be a dad, how you haven't slept in how many years, And at some point, I just got sick of that type of cliche talk. And I was like yearning for more. So that's when I turned to the online community. And I started off on X. And you know, to be honest, I had no idea that this was this entire community of fathers online that like to talk about dad stuff. And the first guys that I came across were guys like Tyler Tote and Save Your Sons, and guys like that. And I started following them and reading their content. And I told myself, man, if these guys can do it, you know, why can't I? I can't believe these guys are just online talking about being a dad almost every day or every day, you know, for two or three posts a day. And, you know, I can talk about this stuff too. I'm passionate about it. I consider myself to be a great dad. So let me share that online. And let me have also conversations with guys like you guys that, you know, want to go beyond the typical dad talk that we have in real life. And it's just, it's another way to like give dads the opportunity to express themselves. Because, you know, men have a tendency to hold everything in, myself included, especially offline. So this was like it's almost like therapeutic for me, really. This podcast is more for myself than anybody else, if I'm being honest. it's a way for That's me to exactly express myself, share what's on my mind, let off some steam if the case may be, and give the chance to other dads to do the same. And that's why I mentioned right from the start, any dad can come on the podcast and talk about whatever they're passionate about and share whatever they want. So yeah, that's the whole reason behind it, really.
All right. Yeah, I mean, so, I remember us talking with you just before you started, actually. And I remember I even told Mr. Pancakes, I'm like, man, he's going to be a fun person to listen to. So, and...
Yeah, I will say I've listened to a few of your shows. I definitely like them. And to anybody that's listening to our show, definitely recommend it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm right there with him. The fact is you ask a lot of questions that, one, I'll be honest, I'm sitting there going, you know, if I was asking questions, because I'm so used to doing it at this point, I would ask this, and next thing I know, you're asking that question. I'm like, all right. Then I'm thinking, all right, well, where would I go with that? Then you'd say something. I'm like, well, that's an interesting way. And, you know, the one thing I love about your show is I don't agree with everything you say. And 90%, I'm sitting there going, well, yeah, you at least, even if it's somebody that, like, I don't know if you agree with everyone you've spoken with or not, but for the most part, it seems like even the people there's been a few I'm sitting there going, does he like this person's view or?
Do I hide it well?
You do. You actually
do a good job of hiding it.
You do, but and that's the nice thing about you is, for the most part, you hide your dislike of a topic. Sorry, the cat's jumping around for anyone watching, but you have a lot better control, and I try to be very control over my emotions and my temperament. There's only been one interview I've had where I really had to test my control, and
we like that.
I wonder what you're talking about.
We like him, and we are definitely looking to have him back.
And since no one can see Mr. Pancakes, he's nodding no. But the fact is, like there's been few people we've had on that I'm sitting there going, I don't know if I really agree with that, but you have the ability to seem to talk with people, and even if you disagree with them, you still listen to them. You still hold an intriguing conversation with them, asking questions. You don't just kind of, hey, I'm done talking with you. Let's wrap this up and get so I can just edit this and put it out. You do keep a fun conversation on, and I love that about your show. I love that about how you do it. And that's
thank you so much for that comment, man. It feels really nice to hear that. And yeah, the whole reason behind it is, you know, I don't lose my cool or anything like that. Is, you know, I'm wearing my host hat, right. You know, and the whole concept, like I mentioned earlier, is to let my guest, you know, the floor is yours. Express yourself as much as you want. And, you know, my show is a bit more of an interview style show, I guess you could say, where, you know, I'm mostly the one asking the questions, and my guest is talking a lot more than I am, you know, which isn't to say that I'm not going to chime in every now and then and share my experiences and my opinions. But yeah, And, you know, you could probably attribute this to maybe me being a rookie, because I've only done about like 25 of these. You know, I'm not really looking to have a conversation that maybe it's going to turn confrontational, or I'm criticizing my guest. I'm not there yet. I don't know how comfortable I am doing that. It's funny that you guys mentioned it, because there were a couple of times with my guests that I wanted to say, like, oh, well, what do you mean by that? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know, I was thinking it, but I didn't outright say it, because, again, the whole point of the show is to let them talk and express their views. But you know what? Yeah, I think it's in a couple of instances I felt like, after the fact, when I was editing it and listening to it, and I was like, oh, man, you took it easy on him. And I should have dug deeper and, you know, challenged him more. Yeah, so I definitely have analyzed and assessed myself after the production, and I'm still learning. So, you know what? Maybe I might start to be mean with my guests from now on.
No, that I definitely wouldn't suggest.
Well, aren't you from Canada? Everybody up in Canada is all like super nice and drinks maple syrup and stuff.
The maple syrup is true. I don't know where Canada got this reputation that we're nice. I don't think we're nice at all. My neighbors are not nice. I go to the States, and I go there often because I love it. Yeah. Much friendlier than Canadians. I don't know where we got this reputation.
I had an uncle that went up to Canada for like vacation one time. And he went to like a laser tag place. He went in there, he played some laser tag, and he just like annihilated everybody. Like the net, and then he like played like two or three rounds and just annihilated everyone. And they're like, oh yeah, where are you from? And he's like, Florida. And they're like, oh, America. Got it. Just mowing people down with guns. Figures.
Oh, that's not fair. Hey, I'll be honest.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes that's the way that media portrays the U.S. It's, you know, it's just fat people and guns. And, you know, that's what we hear a lot about in Canada. But, you know, I'm smart enough, and I use my judgment to be able to say, well, you know, that's what they're showing me. That doesn't mean it's actually like that. There's not, I don't think there's mass shootings every day.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you got to listen to that stuff and just take it with a pinch of salt and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of leads me into another thought. And if you look at, like, the fatherhood world and what dads are doing, it seems like a lot of, and with a lot of dads pushing back on this, it's changed over the years, I've noticed. But even in my early 20s, I've noticed they were pushing how dads aren't important, how men are this girl boss mentality where a woman could do everything herself, doesn't need a man, have a kid, do all this. And the society's gone, I don't know the proper word to use without bleeping myself. But basically, it's gone down the drain in a way that no one really is enjoying at this point, because kids are out of control. Parents, they're more concerned about being their kids' friends than being parents, and all these different little factors that I've noticed and what so have you. And I find that conversations like us, like we've spoken with many of the same guests you have on and off. You've actually, I think we just aired our 26th episode, and you said you just aired your, what's that?
Is it Keon?
Yeah, Q. Yeah, mediocre dad. So it was a fun conversation. But again, it's one of those things that, like what I've noticed, like I said, your show, you're trying to let dads get out their points. And the one thing is, and I've said this multiple times, how big community is and finding that right community to be part of, because, you know, there's people out there that even under my best direction to avoid a certain type of parenting that, so those people still need a community. And, you know, if they want to raise kids that don't have any boundaries, don't have any like real discipline into their lives, then that's their choice of how to parenting. And like one thing is you've said it a few times on your show, you've never spanked your kids, you know. Here's the thing is, you know, I talk about traditional parenting quite a bit, and everyone automatically thinks, oh, well, if you're a traditional parent, you have to spank your kids. No, you can teach your kids without spanking all the time. Don't get me wrong. My kids are as stubborn as my wife and I combine. And, you know, literally, you have to spank them sometimes just to get them to even move up the stairs. Now, I'm not saying wail their butt until they bounce up the stairs, but like a smack on the butt, move, go, with a solid voice.
You mean like a football tap?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. That's the funny thing.
It's actually
like,
quite common.
So here's what I find funny. And I've said this or something similar, I believe, where like my daughter, for an example, right? I've smacked her butt and she started crying because it was meant for punishment, right? But yeah. On the same time, like maybe an hour later, we're playing and I'll smack her butt to move her or to play or what so have you. And she's giggling and all this.
Just wrestling with her, yeah.
Yeah. And one is, if you're spanking your kid to where they can't sit down, then you're an abuser. You're just a straight up a-hole.
You're right.
And mind you, some of these I'm trying my best not to use certain words I'm thinking of. But so if I sound delayed on what I'm saying, it's because I'm thinking of other words. But like, I respect guys that can say, I've never spanked my kid, but they're not sitting there going, well, if you spank your kid, you're bad. Like, I don't think you've once said, well, if you spank, you're doing a horrible job. I know you did those.
No, I have. I have. Look, and well, I'll be transparent. In my early days on X, I did come out right and say, if you're spanking or hitting or something like that, you're an a-hole. Now, was that done to provoke thought and reaction? Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Do I put everybody in the same box and category? Like, if you're spanking, you're doing it in a violent way? No. Behind the scenes, no. But when I posted that, it was just to maybe provoke thought and maybe get people thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, my problem with it is just like you mentioned, where it's violent or it's the right. First recourse.
Yeah.
I just don't see how, like, in this day and age, with what we know, I don't see how that can be like the go-to as a way to discipline your kids. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with it because, like I said, we've learned so much. We've evolved, right? I mean, have we not evolved as a people?
Yeah.
I think we know that there are better ways to do things. Mm-hmm. And what I like about you guys is that you've mentioned it at least a couple of times, I think, especially you, Mr. Pancakes, that for you guys, it was always a last resort.
Yeah.
And I like what I'm hearing, and that's great. But what I don't understand is, like, what needs to happen for it to become the resort? Like, walk me through the times. For sure. And I know, Mr. Pancakes, you said that it only happened two or three times, and that's great.
Yeah.
So with those two or three times, like, what happened that it led you to that? Like, mm-hmm. What was the first resort, second resort, third resort, and then all that stuff didn't work. So you say, oh, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's time for a spanking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you were saying, I go out of my way to try and use as much as those, you know, they call them gentle parenting. I don't like to call them that because a lot of them aren't really gentle parenting. They're more just techniques. Of parenting techniques to try and teach, guide, and train your child to do and be and certain, you know, whatever else over the years. You know, that's the ultimate goal. You don't want to teach your child, if I do this, somebody's gonna just beat the piss out of me. You know, I mean, that's wrong. You know, and then on top of that, you're beating the piss out of your child. So, you know, for one, certain people we know likes to think of anybody who even remotely touches their child is automatically just like wailing on them with bruises, and that is 100% incorrect. You know what I mean? I don't think I've put a handprint on my daughter one time, and it was solely by accident. You know what I mean? And the funny thing is, I actually did it to my dog as well. So that scenario was not in punishment. That one was in fun. So same thing with my dog. They were playing, and I was playing with them, and as they were running away from me, I reached my hand back, and I went to swing to give them like a kind of a, ha, I got you, like that. And as I caught in the same position as her, she stops. And in that, you know, I'm thinking she's still going, but she didn't. So my hand is still going, my arm's still going. And I think I've talked about it before a few times. I mean, I know A, people can't see me, and B, you know, it's still hard to tell even if you can see me. I'm quite a larger person. You know what I mean? I'm like 250 pounds. I'm 6 foot. I mean, I literally have like a 19.5-inch arm. You know, I mean, if you can't see, I mean, it's, I mean,
right.
I mean, I curl 55-pound dumbbells daily. You know, I mean, that's a normal thing for me. So I didn't mean to, and I wailed her and then slung her across the room. And I was crying because I did it. So that was that situation. That's the only time I've ever even put a hand mark on her, and it was solely by accident. You know what I mean?
Right.
In a playful manner, you know, because we were playing. As far as spanking, I've never spanked her harder than just to get her to go. You know what I mean? Because so my daughter, and I don't know how many children do this. I've heard of it from other parents, but my daughter gets into kind of it's like a euphoric state. I don't know if that makes any sense, where she gets this feeling and euphoric mindset where it doesn't matter what you do, she's stuck in it and can't get out. You know what I mean? So, like, you can tell her, no, don't do that. Stop this. Please don't. You can grab her and pick her up. You can, like, shine lights in her face. You spray her with water. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean, she's still doing what she's doing. You can stop her physically, and as soon as you let go of her, she's going to keep doing it. And that has happened several times. Trying to think of one of the scenarios, like what she was doing. Well, whatever she was doing. Oh, so for one, it like happens commonly around dinner time, which is about 5 p.m. ish range. And what she'll do is instead of eating her food, she'll like take a bite and then she'll like play and get up and run off and come back and get up and run off and come back. And then, you know, we're like, please sit down, don't get up. And then she'll be like, shut up. I'm like, excuse you, go have a timeout. No, shut up. And then she'll like grab her food, sling it. And this, you know, I don't know about you. I mean, we've gone out of our way to teach her that this is not okay. And she is very well behaved. You know what I mean? But these are only very unique instances, and they have happened. You know, every kid, regardless of how well-behaved they are going to have their instances, right? So, and she just, I mean, it was like probably about 2 hours of this happening, of us going through all the different techniques, trying to get her to stop, putting her timeout, physically taking her to timeout, and me sitting in timeout with her and saying, please stop. Calming down, doing all the techniques you can think of, everything in the world. And it got to a point to where, I mean, she was literally like grabbing her whole dish and throwing it. So there was nothing to do. The only thing to do was snatch her pants down, crack, bedroom, good night. And that ended it. And she came to me in the morning and she was like, Daddy, I'm sorry. I was like, it's okay. We're learning. This is what we're learning. This is when you don't say, well, don't ever do that again. You know what I mean? That's where it's up to you as a parent to understand that you should never, ever, ever, ever spank your child if you're mad or angry. That is the time you should go, nope, guess it's mom's turn. I'm walking off and just leave. Or sit there and, you know, I guess in a way you maybe got to let your kid sling their food and throw a fit for like 10 minutes until you can calm yourself, because not everybody has two parents around all the time. So if you got to find a way to calm down, just whatever they're doing, as long as they're not hurting themselves, let them do it. Find your peace and calm down. Don't be so angry, and then correct. You know what I mean? And you should, I am a firm believer of finding ways to do it without spanking, but I do believe there always and will forever be a time when a spank may be necessary. It should be rare, and it always should be like something you should strive to never do, but it's going to happen. Reality is reality. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the situation.
But I think it depends, right? You're saying it's going to happen for sure. You're referring to your own child, because it's that situation never came up for me where I felt like I had to give a spanking. So I don't think we can sit here and say that it's going to happen child, for everyone.
Yeah. My child, I would say, it's going to probably happen. I mean, I would say a lot of children are going to be children. You know, children will misbehave. It's such as life.
Sure.
I will say there are a few kids in my daughter's class that I mean, maybe I'm just not seeing them at home or something. I don't know. But, I mean, it's like, where did you get them from? The good-behaved child store? Jesus, they're, like, so well-behaved. I mean, they play piano and they're five.
Yeah.
I think that's a reflection of how you raise your kids, you know? And it, I spoke about it before on my show. I said it online, and I'll say it again. And, you know, some people might not believe me, but my kids don't have tantrums.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. And I think the reason for that is twofold. I think one is that, well, my wife and I, we tend to be more on the calm side.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? So
Right. Your
kids are probably going to be like you. If you're an intense person, your kids are going to be intense. If you're more on the quiet side, Fine. Your kids, is a good chance they're going to end up on the quiet side. So, yeah.
You're 100% right, because I don't think it's solely how you raise or train your kid. I do believe it's part of it is how you take care of your kid and teach your kid and raise and stuff like that. I do think it's a large majority of that, but I also think it's, you know, simple biology also takes place. You know what I mean? If you're a calm, natural person, your children are going to be calm, natural person. If you're literally a nut, that's me. Full-blown, 100% crazy, and I fully admit it. You know, the odd thing is, so is my wife. But we got married for a reason, so.
But yeah, it's you're 100% right. And, you know, I really think it's a mix of both. It's how you raise them, and it's also how you are. Right. Now, the raising part, since day one, and my kids are 6 and 4, like I mentioned, and the way we raise them, and that's the mindset that I want to have in my home, is that I want to live in a peaceful environment at home.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a house where people are yelling at each other, hitting each other, or cussing at each other, or whining, complaining, and crying all the time. I don't want that. I get enough of that at work.
Yeah.
At home, I want to come in my house, and then everybody, you know, we deal with things in a way that we, you know, we regulate our emotions.
Right.
And my wife and I, we portray that. We've been modeling the behavior really well, both intentionally and unintentionally, because, again, that's just how we are. And our kids turn out to be like us. And, you know, it happens that I get upset. You know, don't get me wrong. It's just because I'm a calm guy, generally speaking, doesn't mean that I don't get pissed off. It does happen.
Right.
Especially when I'm on the customer service in line trying to get something done. It has happened, but I try, you know, to limit that as much as I can. And, you know, our kids are always watching, you know, they're always listening. So you got to pay attention to that stuff, because the way you talk, the way you act, they will copy it 100%.
They will. 100%. Let me throw this scenario in and get your feedback, because, like, for example, my family, my wife, maybe not so much my brother, but we're all real big fighters. And I mean, like, we go out to try to fight. It's as soon as we see something, we're willing to stand up and say what we believe and what so have you, right? So my son, he's 6 years old now, and when he was in preschools, he was in preschool daycares and things like that when COVID just started, right? So you didn't have the best teacher shortages in daycares were, at least here in Virginia, you had turnovers at every daycare, like weekly, you know what I mean? But so what would happen is my son was a nonverbal. He just didn't talk. He was speech delayed. Smart as a whip, but like my wife thinks I'm a jerk for bringing this up, that because I'm very proud of him. Like, he got kicked out of a daycare for shoving one of those little coupes. Remember those toy cars for kids that have like the red body, the yellow tops?
The mini coupes or whatnot.
Yeah, they can climb in it and walk around in like Fred Flintstone style motor.
Yeah.
He took one of those and shoved it against a fence. And then because it was moving, he grabbed another toy and shoved it under the back wheels and then climbed up and started climbing and standing on top of it. He didn't climb over the fence or anything like that. He could have gone over the fence if he wanted to, but he figured out how to get up high and do all this. So they kicked him off for that. And they said just because he wouldn't talk, he wouldn't respond to him, things like that.
What?
Oh yeah, trust me, I have stories galore of.
They kicked him out. What do you mean they kicked him out? He was banned from the daycare.
My son has been kicked out of 5 daycares by the time he turned 5. So
that's weird.
He's been through 7 daycares. Now, mind you, one closed. The first one he went to that we loved, they closed. The second one he went to, we pulled him out after a month because he got bit 5 times in that 1 month. And we threatened to sue. They paid us. We promised not to say anything negative about their daycare by name. And, yeah.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Oh, no, trust me. This is a role. And this America. Is the thing is. So here's the thing is, a lot of, and this is why I kind of get worked up every now and then when somebody says, oh, well, you're supposed to do this. It's if you do this. Well, because of all the stuff we had to go through with my son, right? We've been kind of, my wife and I have literally, like my wife used to be a very peaceful, calm person. Now she will lay down an argument and fight with you after all the stuff we've had to go through with my son. One daycare wanted to kick him out because at the age of 4, he didn't like keeping his shoes on. And then the director made a comment about, well, maybe it's an Asian thing because my wife's Chinese. My wife was pissed. She laid into him then. This guy. Now, I am a very big component of siding with your wife first, then children, then family, then whoever else you have after that. So this guy tells me that my wife misunderstood him. And my wife is on the phone. And now, mind you, my wife is still a much calmer person than I am. I am the guy that will rip you a whole new one just to make sure you understand what I'm saying. And I literally learned to control my temper so that I didn't do that to everyone. Because I worked in a very aggressive environment years ago where you would be having fun one moment, then arguing with somebody the next moment, a different person. But I've led an interesting life, to say the least. But the fact is we've had to argue with them, and we've even had to argue with the public school, which thankfully that happened, that we had to fight with them because that's what led us to homeschooling. And
right.
I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it, that my son, he has his strong parts, he has his weak parts, all this. His math is weak, so we joke he's a bad Asian, but but he's a fantastic reader. His science and his nature and all this stuff is just off the charts. The fact is because my kids see that we fight for them, and because we fight, like my son will come up and just randomly start punching me in the stomach, and I'll look at him and go, I am the king. You cannot hurt the king. And we'll wrestle. My daughter will jump in and start trying to punch me and all this. So we have...
Yeah, my kids are the same.
Right, but...
Let me make that clear, that just because you want a peaceful home, it doesn't mean that you don't stand up for yourself. Or we still teach our kids that if they get picked on at school, they need to fight back. I'm never going to tell my son, especially my son. Yeah, exactly. Especially my son, if he's getting picked on at school, I'm not telling him to walk away and do nothing. No. And go cry in a corner.
Well, that's a good thing. No, and that's definitely something you should never teach your kid, at least in my opinion. So
exactly.
My stepdad told me, walk away from a fight if you can, and if you can't, knock them on their butt. That was kind of one thing I was told growing up, and but going off of yours is, when you said that a lot of it depends on how you are and your kids see, like we had to fight and argue and all this with daycares because of the situations we dealt with for my son, or he would have most likely have been put into a special needs class in public schools, or just not allowed in a lot of daycares and all this, or we would have never got him into a daycare that was good for him before they closed down. Which that just broke our heart. But because ironically, the 2 daycares that closed, we thought were the best ones, which killed us. But what I'm saying is like you've learned to stay calm. You made sure that your house was a very loving, very calm, peaceful house. But we didn't have that option. My wife and I, like I said, my wife is very much calm compared to me. But
okay.
I've been a fighter most of my life in the sense of I've had to fight for what I want. I had to fight. I had to be aggressive to get things done. I went from being kicked out when I my father's home, biological, when I was 18, the day I turned it, or no, the day I graduated. So got my diploma, got kicked out. Lived in my car a little bit during that time. Couch surfed, all that stuff. Been technically homeless twice and came back, built up all this. So for me, the thought of being always peaceful is not always an option. You know what I mean? Now, mind you, my customers, the chefs and the architects and all these people I deal with, like one architect that was making a joke when we were on a call goes, Eric, I swear, I don't know if you're happy, upset, or if you're about ready to cuss me out because you always stay very calm when we talk. Where my boss will come on, hey, how you doing? All excited and happy. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, here we go. Let's talk about this. They're like, are you happy? I'm thrilled. Can't you tell my smile? But the fact is sometimes we don't have that opportunity to choose the way we're going to do stuff. We can try to implement as much as we want. But
no, but I get what you're saying. And I think it comes down to there's a time and a place for everything. You know, just because I tend to be more on the peaceful side, am I always peaceful? No. And right. I've mentioned it before on the show. I mentioned it online. There's a time and a place where, you know what, raising your voice with your kids is justified and probably effective too. You know, yes, I tend to try to be more on the calm side and reason them with them first. Sometimes, you know what, I've had a long day and I'm not as patient as I normally am. Yeah. So I will raise my voice. And you know what? Sometimes it does the job. I wrote about this online last week, I think, when I was teaching my son how to ride a bicycle. Don't know if you guys saw that, but he had been using training wheels for a while. And I decided, you know what, this summer it's time to ditch the training wheels. And so I took him off and we went to the nearest parking lot, empty parking lot, so he could practice. And at first, you know, I was real patient and understanding with him and saying, okay, because he looked nervous, right? He was hesitant. He tends to be a little on the scared side when it comes to physical things like that. So I let him, you know, feel it out, and I was holding him and with, you know, pushing the bicycle, and he was still struggling. And at one point I just thought that this gentle approach wasn't working. So I just, you know what, I didn't lose it, but I went like, you know what, enough's enough. Let's do it. Come on, ride your bike, push the pedals and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't yell, but I did raise my voice so that he knew I meant business and I was serious. And it actually, you know what, he's not used to it, so it made him upset to the point where, you know what, he just took off. And he started riding his bike. Yeah. It worked, and I was tougher with him. And, you know, there is a time and a place for being tough and a time and a place to be more gentle. And you know what, this gentle word is getting a negative connotation, but, you know, it sucks the way it happens because being gentle is not necessarily a bad thing.
No,
it's not. I'm not talking about being permissive. You know, there's a difference between being permissive and peaceful or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But, you know, when your kid needs a hug, give him a hug. When he needs to be pushed, push him.
Right.
So I think it's up to us as parents to be in tune with that and to know which action should apply to which situation. And I think that's where, you know, your judgment comes in, and you got to do your best with distinguishing between, you know, oh, which course of action is better in this case?
I absolutely agree. For sure. Yeah, I mean, and that, like you said, as parents, that's our job, is to know our kids. Like, I swear, my kids, I tried to, what was it, this morning, in fact, getting my kids out of bed, trying to get them to got my daughter out of her bedroom so I could brush her teeth, change her diaper, get all her stuff ready because she had a dentist appointment. And I was hoping she would go into my room, and instead she went in, woke her brother up. And then I'm like, okay. So my son has a chair in his room as well. They have chairs so we can sit with them while they go to bed. And so I go, I sit in the chair. They both pile on top of me. We start watching some nature videos and things like this. And then I'm literally, instead of trying to push my kids off saying, come on, we got to go. There's like, I know a lot of people might, when they listen to the podcast, they might sit there and go, wow, he's a real rough guy on his kids or this and that. I swear I am actually probably the most gentle cuddling. Like, my kids and I cuddle constantly. My people joke that there's so many pictures, so many times that if you look, my kids are either laying on me, jumping on me, punching me, wrestling with me. They're right there with me, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love my connection with my kids, and it's a powerful thing to do that. And like you said, I think even though I'm more of a, I don't know the right word of doing it, I'm not going to say rougher or meaner or harder or whatever it is, but my technique, my way of parenting is more of a different way than yours. I do it in a way that for my kids, because I know my kids, they understand what I do. If I spank my daughter, she sits here, she cries, then she comes over, and then she has me pick her up and give her a hug. I do that so she knows that I'm doing this, and I'll tell her, do not, like Mr. Panko was talking about his daughter throwing food. Mine's 2.5 years old. Her doing that, she's just learning to talk. My son, I don't spank him anymore because he can talk. I can say, no, don't do that. You understand, listen to me. Sure. Spanking, it'll work, but it doesn't have, in my opinion, and from what I've read and all this, spanking at a certain age does not have the effect that you want it to have.
Yeah, almost none. The complete opposite.
Right, and for me, I see that as soon as they can speak and understand and comprehend what you're saying and be able to rationalize that, that's when spanking is really you should just kind of get away from it, because if they can understand what you're saying, like my daughter, 2.5, she's starting to talk, she's starting to understand, but there's still some times that I'll say no, and then she's getting to the point I'll say, I don't want to spank you, stop. No spanking. Okay, then let's stop. She'll stop. So I'm able to start weaning that tool away, because once she knows it, and that's a big part of understanding our kids, is once we know what's good for them, bad for them, I'll be honest with you. No dad should enjoy spanking. No dad should go, I get to spank my kids. No.
But that's what I'm talking about. And you know, a couple of weeks ago on X, I threw a question out. Asking my audience to say whether or not they spank their kids, and if they agree with it. Mm-hmm. And there were at least a few that said that they did. And then right away you would have the justification of, oh, but it's done in a calm and happy manner. And if it kind of felt like they were having to like defend themselves. I'm grateful that they admitted it. Where I have to be a little skeptical and questioning is on the, it's done in a calm and happy manner. I have a hard time envisioning a father doing it and he's super happy about it. Okay, come here, Timmy. It's time for a spanking. You didn't listen to me. I don't see how that can happen.
I think that's where the context is taken out of. Because it's when someone if I were to say, the spanking it's done in a calm and happy manner. I don't necessarily, by that I don't mean I'm like, yeah! You know what I mean? That's not what I'm doing. Right. By calm and happy manner, I'm using those terms or that terminology to explain that I'm not over there in an extreme version of anger, pissed off, and beating the piss out of my kid. It's essentially, I mean, other than saying, I'm in a calm and happy manner, how else do you describe it? Essentially, what I'm trying to say is I'm not in an angry mood. I'm not wanting to beat my child. I'm not
pissed off. But you are upset, though, right? You are at least a little irritated that your kid wasn't listening and that it got to that point.
Sometimes. You in the beginning, yes, but the couple of times I've had to, I've gotten to a point to where I have worked my way down to just being neutral, where my mindset, my anger is calm, my mad is calm. Now I understand what my child is doing and what it is needed of me as a parent in order to not only correct the behavior, but also to prevent future behavior. You know what I mean? Right.
So that's your goal. I have a feeling that that's not the case for a lot of other guys.
No.
Oh, you're not. And you're not wrong.
No, let me say for me, for example, like I'll admit, when I spank, I am a little irritated. It's not, now mind you, I'm not sitting there fuming. Right. I'm calm, but I'm not doing it because I'm letting my emotions take control of me. Right.
Yeah.
because you're working up. Now, I was thinking about this as you were talking back and forth a little bit, and it went back to your gentle word getting bad connotation because of the general parenting mood and all, or movement. You know, the one thing is, I'm thinking maybe it should be reworded, the calm and loving manner should be better in a calm manner for loving reasons. Because to me, like, I'll admit, I'm not, there is no lovey huggy while I'm spanking. It is, I will take them and I don't bend them over my knee. I'll smack their butts as they stand, where they stand, and say, calm down. Now, mind you,
it's more so of a,
mind you, when I spank, it's one smack and that's all I do. And that's enough to get their attention, kind of shock them out of their little area. And
let me ask you this. If there was a way that you could do it and then you wouldn't have to spank anymore, would you be open to that?
I'd be open to it. But again, it comes down to how my kids are. My daughter, even the dentist today, made the joke about, wow, your daughter looks like she's just going to be a stubborn child. And I'm like, she just had this look. But the fact is
my, rude.
The fact is my daughter is very stubborn. My
sense that. First of all, what kind of dentist do you go to?
An Asian one.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
She is a good doctor. She's a great dentist. She does good with my kids. But the fact is each kid is different. And just,
is she saying that in front of your daughter?
Yeah. Well, my daughter's 2.5. I tell my daughter she's stubborn all the time. This is kind of the thought is for me, like, I am completely in, I wouldn't say 100%, but 80% straightforward with my kids. So, like, my son understands a whole lot more because he hears me talk to him in a manner of, you're doing this. This is what it seems like you're doing it for. Is this what you're doing it? Well, no. Then why are you doing it? And I'll use a firm voice while I ask him. You know, I'm not thrilled by you doing this, and you doing this is going to end up giving you consequences because I'm the one that has to determine what's right and wrong for you to do. And I'll talk to him about this. Like I said, he's at the age I can talk through everything with him, and I don't have to do the spanking. My daughter, now, she's getting better. I can simply say, stop, or I'm going to have to spank you, and she'll most times will start calming down and stop, right? So,
have you tried things like distracting or like changing the environment, like picking her up, going outside for a walk, playing outside, like, hey, look at the birds. Let's go look at the birds together and hear them chirp.
See,
maybe it'll calm you down.
See, here's the thing we've tried stuff like that, right? And you know, it's okay. So let me ask you, she's throwing a fit because she doesn't want to come inside. She's been bit up by mosquitoes, so she has red welts all over her because when my kids are young, they get bit by mosquitoes and have like red welts this big that the daycare.
My daughter too.
Yeah, well, my daycare's all of them. My son's had it. My daughter gets them. Always ask me about them and says, well, do we need to pay attention? No, these are bug bites. They're not any other kind of marks because daycares, they're supposed to report any kind of marks that are on a kid that's unexplainable. So I have to go through that whole conversation. So anyways, she's fighting to come in. She has to come in. She has to get her bath, all this. Do you walk around the yard longer and then let her fight when it's time to come in again or walk around till she sleeps? I mean,
tell her, hey, let's go take a bath. Which rubber ducky do you want to play with today?
Yeah, doesn't work with my daughter. Tried it. I'll be honest with you. I've tried it where, like, she will
fight.
I'll
race her to the bathtub. I bet you I'll get to the bathroom before you do.
She doesn't.
I don't think you can make it faster than me.
I've
done all of those techniques. Changing the subject, reverse psychology.
Making it fun, you know?
Like, stuff.
Tried.
Giving her, offering candy.
All the way down
to chasing her around the yard to the point of being out of breath and being like, please, let me get a hold of you and just come inside. You're going to die if you get any more mosquito bites. I've done that because I've actually, now that you've said that, Eric, I've done the exact same thing for the exact same scenario because my daughter gets one mosquito bite. If she got a mosquito bite right here, she'd literally have two heads. It'd be this big. She's gotten like a mosquito bite and we've had to take her to the hospital because it was so big. Like, her arm was all swollen, bruised, black and blue all the way down. You know what I mean? Like, bad. Like, she is detrimentally, like, allergic to mosquitoes and bugs and ants and all kinds of stuff. So she gets an ant bite, forget it. Her whole foot's, like, as big as a baseball. And her foot, mind you,
Florida,
is
don't you? This big.
I was just going to say. Good thing you don't live there.
I've expressed to my wife 1,000 times that I love Florida politics. I grew up here, and I'm so sick of Florida. I just want to leave.
Wow.
And she's like, no, I love the beach. Oh, whatever.
It's all about the beach, isn't it?
Yeah, we live a stone's throw from it. I can see it from my backyard. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, sounds nice. There's always that great scenario that somebody can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's like Mr. Pancake said at the beginning, where he said, I would love to learn how you have the perfect child that listens all this. Because, and I'm not saying every kid's always perfect, blah, blah, blah. But
no,
I can promise you, even my son at 6 years old, when I tell him to come inside, he starts throwing a little fit at times because for him, he would sleep outside year round and never come into a house.
Yeah.
That is his mentality. Now, like, we have a nanny so that I can homeschool and work from home and all of this. The nanny's off this week. So for me, a lot of it's I'll go outside with him for lunch and we'll have a picnic outside. Then he'll get to play like it's recess time. And we go through and do the standard routine, what's I have you while I work. I figured out how to balance it out for this week. But with that, it's also he doesn't really want to come in. Now, I can promise you, say at the time I go pick up my daughter, I bring her home, we go in the backyard with my son and play till 8-9 o'clock at night. Let's say I let him stay up unbelievably late. They could be ready to fall asleep on me, right? I could have one under each arm. And if they have any bit of awareness to being awake, they're going to throw a fit about coming inside. And now, mind you, I love that my kids love being outside, but there's that scenario.
Time for bed is time for bed.
Yeah. But and you have to. You can't sit there and go, all right, well, let's distract. Let's do this. Let's do this. Because my kids, their way of thinking is, like, my son's very logical minded. So if you sit there and go, hey, I'll race you, he's going to be like, okay.
Why?
I'll race you to that. I'll race to that wall. You go inside, like, and he will try to negotiate with you to get out of that. And again, he's old enough now that I can say no. Get your butt inside. It's time to get things done, and he'll follow that. His sister, on the other hand, she'll say no and just flop down on the ground. You pick her up, she screams, she kicks, all this. And most times I can hold her well enough, but there's been times she's done it hard enough. I've had to sit her down and calm down. Let's go inside. And I mean, you want to say, well, offer them candy. Well, we don't do candy in the house. So it's very rare we ever have candy in the house. Offer them the homemade ice cream.
No, and bribing them anyway wouldn't be.
Right. Well,
it's not the best option.
Right. I understand.
It was another last resort tactic. I've had to do it before, but it's definitely a very, very last resort tactic. You know, I've tried all of the techniques and gotten to the point where I was like, fine. I'm really not in the mood to, you know, as the gentle parenting people would say, quote unquote, beat the living piss out of you right now. Not in the mood to do that. You know what? I mean, if you come inside, I'll have like a scoop of ice cream for you. Jesus, just come inside. Please.
Now, in all truth, almost I have to imagine every parent's used bribery for one reason or another, and it's not the best option. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there, even if you don't remember doing it, there, I can almost guarantee if you haven't, you will. Come on, let's do this. If you just come inside, we can watch some TV. You want to watch whatever show? You want to watch Benke? You want to watch?
But that is, doesn't that create like a precedent when, you know, the sure enough, the next time happens that they don't want to come back inside and then they remember that, the last time I came inside, I watched TV for an hour.
Right.
Yes.
And that's the thing is that's why bribery is not good. But
it's the last, it's like an emergency resort. Yeah.
But but I'm saying that almost every parent has at least once used.
Have you ever used the hog tie technique?
No, I'm afraid to ask.
That's where you, if they lay on the floor, you grab them by their hands like this and by their feet. You just all four in one hand and you pick them up and walk them inside and then you set them down on the couch.
No,
can't say that I have.
All four, arms and legs like this and my hands are like this around all four. Just picked her up and she's going, ah! I'm just, nope, come on, inside. I mean, it's better than whooping the piss out of her, isn't it? I mean,
that is better.
Yes.
I got her inside without spanking.
Yes, but and that's the thing is, for me, that's what I'm trying to get at with this whole scenario and sense is, you know, everyone likes to say, you can throw out 100, did you try this? Did you try offering them yellow, or did you try offering them to go to this room instead of this room? Did you offer them to look at 30 pieces of grass instead of 20 pieces of grass? Whatever it might be, you know what I mean? There's always the, did you do this? Because the fact is we all like to think that we know best, and we do know best.
No, you know, let me make it clear. Like, I was, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to convince you guys to change your parenting styles. You know, I came here knowing fully well that, you know, you're not going to convince me. I'm not going to convince you, and that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, we're just sharing our viewpoints. But it was just more, for me, just in terms of curiosity and just, you know, asking questions and wondering, like, where it comes from and, you know, so that's where I come from, at least.
Right. I understand. But, and the one thing is like me going in and explaining all my views and this and that, you know, the funny thing is with this anti-spanking push, and I'm not saying you're anti-spanking, you very much well might be, but, and I know you're not a fan of it, but the fact is I think a lot of people that spank, they right now are getting so much flack about it. That because they're getting it, it's like,
feel attacked.
Yeah, they feel attacked. Why do you, if you spank, why do you do it? Well, it's because of this and because of this. If you ask a general parenting person, why don't you spank? They're going to say, well, I don't believe in it. If you talk to them, they're going to sit there and go, well, my mommy spanked me when I was 10 years old and I was just upset about it and I never got over it.
Look, you see my tear on my hand? I have a tattoo there and I've had it for about 20 years.
Wait. But the fact
your mommy spanked you when you were 5.
But the fact is that everyone has their own reasons for doing stuff. And, you know, I remember hearing as a teenager from my stepdad, he goes, you know, there's no handbooks on how to raise you.
No, for sure.
But,
and you know what? I don't think you hear a lot about studies and all that stuff. And, you know, depending on how it's done, because there are many studies now. I haven't, you know, there's some guys who, you know, share that stuff online. And, you know, granted, I haven't gone through each one of them. I just don't have that kind of time. But they seem to say that there's many studies that say that spanking in the long run is bad for kids and their development and their growth.
Yes.
Now, do they go into detail as to what kind of spanking? Is it a violent spanking? Is it more on a disciplinary way like you guys where it was done more in a calm manner? I don't know. I don't know if they go into that much into detail, but
so I've actually read a lot of those studies. I've read studies on both sides, you know, on the non-spanking and the spanking side. On the non-spanking side, there's even studies that are neutral that don't sway to either side, but they do explain that the ones on the non-spanking side play off of semantics. So such as you were saying, they don't explain to you what they're talking about when the scenario is. They just simply say in those studies, spanking's bad. And if you do it, you're going to detrimentally mentally challenge your child forever for the rest of their life. Jesus, they're, you know, like that's how they explain it. And I've read those studies and they're legit. You know, they actually do that. They overemphasize the simple idea of spanking. Now, if you read the other side of this house, and I'm not saying this only because I'm more towards that. So that does seem to be more of a bias on my end, so I'll fully admit that, but I'm saying this from a neutral point. If you read the one from the other side, the pro-spanking side, they're more of a, I think it was not totalitarian, but I forget what they called it, where the idea was to use all of the techniques to the best of your abilities, all the way to the very bitter end of the side of the gentle parenting thing. All the different things that they talk about, all the techniques, all the guiding, the training, the working with them, trying to distract them, all kinds of those techniques. Every single one, all 65 million thousand of them. What they say is, doesn't matter what you do, some people, not every child, but there will be a child that there will be a time that it is going to be needed. And in that need, your last resort as a spanking should be there. Now you should, and it also goes through all the scenarios and the depths of spanking, the level of hitting and how hard you should hit, if you should even hit at all. It should always and always and forever be on the tush and more of just a pat, not even a smack or a hit or a punch or anything like that, just a pat. And it should never physically hurt them. It should only get them to go, oh, mm-hmm. I need to listen. You know what I mean? And that's it, nothing more. There should literally be zero pain, and it explains all of that in detail. So that's the difference in those studies. And so in for me, I know, Rem, you're not really into the spanking thing. You're more pro non-spanking. But you and the guy who shall not be named, I don't put you two in the same box,
no.
If that makes sense at all. Because I feel as though you're not into spanking, but you're capable of understanding, and you don't lie, you don't manipulate, and you're not out there saying that anybody who does is a disgusting, evil, mean, vicious beast monster abusing children. And that's all of those people, that's the problem, is that they do that. And that immediately makes people on our side go, you know, F you, pal. Yeah, and then I do the thing, you know, everybody knows me, I'm a bit uppity, I get it, but so what I'm going to do, if you talk to me that way, I'm going to immediately go, yeah, I beat the piss out of my child until she's bloody, what are you going to do about it? That's what I do, even though that's nowhere near true,
right.
But I'm obviously going to do that because I'm going to challenge this dude. Who are you to tell me what to do? Don't tell me, you know, so that's how that always happens, and that's exactly what those details in the studies on the supposed pro spanking side, which they're not pro spanking, they're pro parenting, I would say, certain type of style parenting.
Right.
That's what they explain, and they explain all that in details. Now they even explain those type of manipulation tactics on the it's almost like extreme feminism. You know what I mean? It's super okay to be pro women having rights and being equal and all that stuff, right? All of this is, I mean, should we challenge that? No, it's nonsense for me to say, women shouldn't vote. No, duh, they should. You know, they have all the same rights as me, you know, but when do you actually believe that I'm going to sit here and go, I'm going to arm wrestle her and I actually believe she, a woman, is going to win against me? Give me a and break, you know, there are reality and it doesn't matter. So that's kind of when I read those studies.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. And I don't personally think that you know, again, it depends how it's done, but if it's done in a non-violent way, I don't think those kids are going to get scarred. I don't think they'll be traumatized for life. Now if it's done every single day in a violent way, you can bet your ass they're going to turn out messed up.
100% yeah. And that is actually something that every dad or man that is pro or pro spanking or pro, I guess, say traditional parenting, every single man, every single dad that is a true traditional parent and true man will stand up by and stand by every single day. Anybody who hits their kid in any way, shape, or form other than a should get more than that to their in face. And go crush their freaking nose. You know what I mean? That's how we all feel. You know,
right.
You don't hit kids. You know, in a disciplinary action, I have never actually spanked my child. And granted, it was like, I think I try to count them. I think it's only been three, but I want to say two. I have never actually given my daughter a spanking in a disciplinary action more so harder than I'll say.
Not and the fact that you mentioned time. That it's only been two or three times, it shows me that you didn't want to do it and that you didn't want to get there, and that it is way down your list of recourses for discipline.
The goal is to not. That's the goal. And by like Eric said, by the time you're the kid is 5 or 6, it should be not at all, because it, I mean, for one, by the time they're 5 or 6, those couple of times should have corrected those scenarios in which now you just don't do that, and they go, yes, Dad, you
know, right.
So, yeah. As well as if you do it by the time they're 5 or 6, now they're gonna, it's not the same, you know what I mean? So they're gonna probably scream
by a certain age. You should probably try reasoning with your kid and, you know, having a conversation.
Right.
Well, exactly. Right.
They should understand that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Let's do this.
Absolutely.
We've actually been talking for an hour and a half now. So instead of going into to another full hour, 2, 3, 4 hour, Rem, I'm going to send you.
Let's continue this on my show. How about that?
I'm good for that. So we'll set up a time for us to come on your show. We'll talk about this topic, more topics, and then see where it leads us there. So with that, where do you want people to find you if they want to contact you, want to learn more about you, and what so have you?
Yeah, so you can find me on X. It's pretty much the only social media I have, because I hate every social media, and I only have the X account to support the podcast. So it's on X. It's at Dads with Mics, and you can find me. The podcast, the video format is on YouTube. You just search for Dads with Mics, and you can also find a link on my X profile. It's on Spotify, Apple, and you know all those other podcast platforms. So you can definitely find me on there.
Perfect. Mr. Pancakes.
Yeah. So, you know, as usual, all the normal spots, the best number one place is, just the website, you know, www.pancakeswithyourdad.com. You should have, a link to pretty much all the socials. It's LinkedIn, Facebook, got my Instagram back. So Instagram, X or Twitter, and then Truth Social. I will say was a lot more active on X, but I kind of dimmed down a bit just because X is playing games with me right now, as well as I've also dimmed down a little bit on social media altogether just because I had some time. But I'm starting to get back active in all of it again. So definitely reach out to me. Shoot me a message or anything. Go to the website. You can do contact us. Don't forget, there's also plenty of cool merchandise, like cool hats and some funny ones, some silly ones, some, you know, serious ones. All the money that you spend into it definitely helps us grow, and not financially for me to go buy a new car. We use it to help build what we do. I try to provide as many resources for free on my website. There is an entire page that is nothing but downloaded woodworking, woodworking things, so you can do step by step with your kids, show you how to do cuts and all that stuff, and build different chairs, tables, whatever else. We also have plenty of magazines and stuff, so definitely go check all that stuff out.
When's the pancake recipe book coming out?
One day. It's getting there.
I got about
4 or 5 different cool recipes. I think I have 3 actually posted on the website right now. I gotta build the other ones. It's oddly, you know, I use AI is awesome. I use AI for the silly images that I put on my blog articles, but that's it. All the pancakes, all the editing, all that stuff I do by hand. So it, like, one image that I build takes like 3 hours. You know, so it's difficult.
So, and then of course, Call with Dads. Call with Dads. You can go to our website, callwithdads.com. Where you should be able to find all of our links for Twitter or X, Truth Social, which I'm horrible about being there, I'll be honest with you. Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, we're all those places. And just like Rem said, we're audio about anywhere you want to find us. So with that being said, hopefully we're going to have some big news coming up in the next few months that we hope to announce that's going to be a great thing for parents. But again, we're going to tease it until it comes, but we're looking forward to telling you about this. Now, with that being said...
Oh, come on!
Not yet.
Let me know.
I'll tell you what, I'll talk to you if you can hold on. Everyone else, sorry, you will have to wait. But Rem, hold on, we'll talk some more. And goodbye, everyone else.
Yeah, thanks.